I'd rather know that I'm trying to do something for the Lord than not. Amen. It's so good to have our visitors with us this morning, and I know they'll be back as soon as Brother Don is getting able to, and I appreciate both of them being here with us, by the way, or whatever you call this thing, video or whatever. I see one of them. I believe it's Sister Shelby. It must be her camera. It says it's off, so I reckon it might be. All right, let's take John chapter 12, if you will. John chapter 12. I don't know how many of you saw me this week, but I had a mustache. Did you realize that last Sunday? I dropped that one time or twice, but anyway, I shaved it off yesterday, and now I grew a beard this morning. So just have to, you know, take it as it is, I guess, you know, and just love me the way I am, and I love you the way you are. I think all of us will be a little bit off, every one of us. And I'm telling you, it's all of us, none of us are perfect, but all of us have a room to improve a little bit anyway. If we'll just trust the Lord, and I tell you that every Sunday, I think I'm here, I think. Let's just trust the Lord and do what He wants us to do. And I think then that everything's going to be all right. I want to go and start with John chapter 12, and I'm going to read verse 20 down through verse 27, I think it is. Then I want to try to bring you a message on this thought. Now that I'm a servant, and I've been trying to be a servant for a long time, but it says, now that I am a servant, hard work befalls us. We're not saved by works, and I want you to know that. We're saved by grace through works, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we're saved by grace. And when we're saved by grace, then I believe that He'll put a desire in our heart, a zeal in our heart, that we'll work for Him. Amen. Now, you can if you want to, or you feel led to. If I say anything that you think you could, you can say amen. That'd be all right. I don't care. I mean, you know, I care that you do or don't, but just let the Lord lead you. Amen. Let's just enjoy what God has for us in this old sinful world that we're living in. So, you know, we've got a lot to be thankful for because, you know, the world doesn't have a whole lot to be thankful for. Until they get right with the Lord, they get saved, then they have a whole lot to be thankful for. So, because we've got a better place to go to. Amen? All right, let's look now in verse 20, chapter 12. And the Son of Man is to be glorified. Amen? And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. In other words, they wanted to see Jesus. Amen. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Isn't that wonderful? If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I this hour, unto this hour. Now, I've been thinking about it a lot this week, and I've been trying to read and study God's Word every day, two or three times a day. And as I do that, I have been looking at Matthew and studying Matthew, where Jesus was crucified. And you know, I get to thinking about it a lot of times. And I'm thankful today that, you know, Jesus Christ thought enough of me to die on Calvary's cross for my sins. If it had not been for nobody but me in this world, I believe God loves me enough that he would have given his only begotten son for me there on Calvary's cross. I believe that as much as I'm standing here this morning, because he loves me, he loves you, and he wants to see every one of us do what we can for the glory of God. Now in this verse here, we have a threefold truth as the shadow of the cross is falling on our Savior. He speaks here of those desiring to sue him, mentioned there in John chapter 12, verse 20 and verse 21. And here, certain Greeks, not Jews, but Gentiles, desire to see him. Now, our Lord then speaks of his death and the resurrection there in John chapter 12, verse 23 down to verse 25. We see all of this. And I believe that the emphasis of our text today, our text verse, is this, that is, on any man, not just any Jew, not just any Gentile alike, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is to all, Jews and Gentiles alike. He died for one as much as he did the other. And I praise the Lord for that today. You see, as we look at this verse, we see some things. And I want to share about seven of them today. And I try not to get in too big of a hurry, because I would like for all of us to just understand a few things this morning of how the Lord does for us and what he does. All right, first of all, as we look at this verse, we see the first thing is that the sinner's personal choice. Now, Jesus Christ died for our sin. I know that, and you know that. But let me say something to you. It says here, if any man serve me. Now, what is he saying? Salvation brings us into the family of God, doesn't it? Salvation brings us into the family of God. And I want to say this. I'm glad today that I'm a part of the family of God. And if you're saved today, and I believe all of you are, you claim to be, your testimony so. And so I believe this, that every one of us can say that we are part, and we're glad that we are part of the family of God. Are we not? Are you glad?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's see. And no one will be made to go to heaven. Not a person. God's not going to make us go to heaven, is he? But he will carry us to heaven. Amen. All right. And to be saved, we simply do this. Come confessing our condition as lost sinners, and freely his grace cleanses us, and it makes us sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And we find that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, if you want to go over there and look at it. But don't take time to do it now. If you want to write it down and go later, that'll be fine. But now, we find that here it says, sons of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He cleanses us and makes us sons of God. Thank God for that. Amen. So one thing for sure, if we're serving God, we're not serving him not just for a reason. We're serving him for a lot of reasons, aren't we? And first one is this. I believe that we serve him because he first loves us. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. And if we love him today, then let me say to you that secondly, in John 11:26, we see the second thing, and that is, first of all, the sinner's personal choice. And we do have a choice, don't we? God gave us a choice. All right. Then second is that the Savior's presence with all of us who serve him. There's something wrong when a person serves God all of his life and never feels the presence of the Lord. I don't know how they could do it. I feel the presence of the Lord many times, and I praise the Lord for it. You know why I can do that? It's because he lives within my heart and in my soul and in my life. And by him doing that, he takes up an abode there in the form of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three in one. The Trinity, in other words. The Savior's presence with all of us that serve him. It says here, and where I am, there shall also my servants be. I'm reading here, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servants be, in verse 26. Now, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor also. All right, here's a sure promise, the third thing. First of all, the sinner's personal choice. Second, the Savior's presence with all who serve him. And third, a sure promise. Jesus said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Could anything, and you think about this, could anything be greater than to have God our Father honor our efforts to serve him? Can you think of anything better? I don't know of anything better myself. See, there are certain conditions to meet in serving the Lord. We have to meet some. Let's review a few of them through the scripture. Okay? First of all, there is a choice for service. And you can find this in Joshua 24, verse 15. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But it's me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Here's a choice for service, in other words. And then in Matthew 6:24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon, in other words. All right, so then we see that the majority will not choose to serve him. But I'm here to tell you the choice is yours. It's here to tell you that the choice is mine. I'm glad that I made a choice a long time ago. I know that I don't look as old as I am. Some people say it, some say I look dilapidated, but that's all right. You see, that's whatever. They got to give an account for what they say, right? All right. But anyway, I know I don't look this old, but I got saved a long, long time ago. I'm going to tell you this, I hadn't been perfect, and I'm still not perfect. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ forgive me of my sins when I sin. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did he not say that? Amen. Praise the Lord. You can choose to serve God or not to serve God, in other words. God is not going to make you serve him. But if you're really saved, you better be careful if you don't, because you're going to have to answer. God will take you out behind this old woodshed sometime. I don't know about you. Of course, I never did get to go out there behind the old woodshed for that. But I know one thing. When my daddy told me to stand up, I didn't ask him how tall I wanted to be. I stood up right then. These children nowadays, they say, I ain't going to listen to you. That's the truth. Yeah. See, I'm telling you, we're living in a different day, but we're still serving the same God. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Now, that choice is yours. But we see that the majority don't choose to serve him. You can look around and see that, can't you? Why, people don't go to the house of God like they used to. The Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the acceptable, perfect will of God. You look out sometimes, and if I was looking at this door over here long enough, I'd probably see somebody going to the lake with a boat behind the car. The whole family in there. Wouldn't it be wonderful to stop here and get saved? They probably wouldn't want to go on Sunday morning then. But God would give you something even better than that. Amen? Oh, the choice is ours. The choice is ours. So remember that. All right, number two is this. Some of you might not like all this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, okay? There's a controlled tongue for service. Amen? I never heard any of y'all say anything, but I'm just going to bring this out, okay? Just in case some of your family have. How about that? There's a lot of criticism those that are serving and doing very little serving themselves. They're criticizing people that are serving God, but they do very little service themselves. And that's wrong, isn't it? We're not to criticize anybody that's trying to do what they can for the glory of God. I know God uses people. He uses people that you wouldn't think that he would use. A lot of people know how to run their mouth about other people, but they never run their mouth for God. They talk about women, they talk about praying, they talk about other things. And other people. I'll often say, these telephones, they get on the telephone and they say they can't witness nobody facing them. Well, I don't know. If God told you to, you'd have to. Or get a whooping one. And which would you rather be? You had rather whoop you? Him whoop you? Or would you rather tell him about Jesus? Huh? What about it? You see, the Bible talks about there in James about, you know, when a horse is put a bit in the horse's mouth, and then he does what they want him to. Well, that little tongue, a lot of times it's got so much evil in it, you can't chain it, or you can't tame it. Now, Jesus has much to say about the tongue, doesn't he? In James chapter 3, verse 3 through 8, and then even in Matthew 15, verse 8, it says something about it. And there must be this. Thirdly, a clean heart for service. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, Psalms 139, 1 through 4, need forgiveness for our secret faults, do we not? There's a lot of times I need forgiveness. In fact, there's not many days that I don't ask the Lord to forgive me for something. There's a lot of times I let my mouth get ahead of my mind and say things that I shouldn't say probably. See, we need forgiveness from our secret faults. But not only do we need it from our secret faults, we need forgiveness of our sinful thoughts. Psalms 94, verse 11 says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. So be careful what you think. Be careful what you think about me. And I have to be careful what I think about you. Do you not? Amen. I know we do. Lord knows the thoughts of the man. Jesus knows your thoughts in Matthew 9, verse 4. Now, here's a clean heart for service, isn't it? We need that clean heart. We have to let God clean our heart up every once in a while. In fact, it wouldn't hurt nothing. Every step you take, you say, Lord, forgive me. I know that'll be a whole lot, but, you know, it depends on a few things. All right, in the fourth place, there must be a complete confidence in the one that we serve. I think sometimes, as we look around, I think we start trying to serve the devil. Because it seems like it a lot of time, doesn't it? But we need to have a complete confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do all things. He's an all-powerful God. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. All of these. But if you go back in your Bible, I want to read a few of these things to you and share with you the fourth place here, complete confidence in the one that we serve. Remember that God is with us. He's with us every step of the way. First of all, he was with Moses in the wilderness, wasn't he? Sure he was. He was with Joshua in war. He was with Elijah's servants in the time of weakness. He was with David when the wild animals attacked. He was with Martha and Mary when they were weeping. And let me say to you, Jesus wept also. In the book of John, where he said he wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Or I can't remember exactly the verse. You probably could tell me right off. But anyway, he wept. And with the disciples, when the waves threatened the boat, he was right there with them, wasn't he? Not only that, but with the early church, when the world opposed them, he was there with the early church. He's here with us today. No matter what, he's still here. And with Paul, he was in the Paul in the wreck of the ship. Nobody got hurt. There was with John, he was with John in the wasteland of Patmos. And he'll be with his servants wherever he sends them. And he's with us when we walk through the shadow of death, of the valley of the shadow of death. The Bible says we should fear, not fear, because he's with us. He's with us all the way. In the fifth place, there must be a consideration of cost in service. What do you mean? You're going to lose some friends if you serve the Lord like you should. And not only are you going to lose some friends, you're going to make some enemies. I never knew up until the last year or two of how people acted truly. A lot of people have forgotten me. And that may be a good thing, I don't know. But I'm just saying this. We're going to make some enemies and we're going to lose some friends. And we're going to walk alone sometimes, except with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we not? If we'll serve him, we'll be his servant, then he'll be with us. And I'm saying, tell you it again. Let me read this I got here. It says, this Kenneth Wurst, I don't know if you know him, I never heard of him myself, but come across this. Said the word designated one who was born as a slave, who was bound to his master in cords so strong that only death could break them. One who served his master to the disregard of his own interests, one of whose will be swallowed up in the will of his master. That's a lot of thought, ain't it? Sure it is. And in the sixth place, and I've got seven, and I'll be through in just a little bit. Excuse me. I got seven I'd like to share with you, and I already got six, fifth, five of them. In the sixth place, there must be this. There must be a constraining love for saints. Let me ask you something. I believe this, but I'm just going to ask you just to give you a thought, okay? I believe I could answer it, but I'm not. I'm going to ask you, and I don't want you to answer me outwardly. But that person beside of you, or in front of you, or behind you, do you love them with a Christian love? Think about it. Constraining love for the saints. See, you people say sometimes, well, preacher, we had never got along. Why? It may be the preacher's fault sometimes. It might be our fault sometimes. We're all imperfect, aren't we? Imperfect, excuse me. John Doe's family never got along with Mary Lou's family. Why? Last but not least, there must be a complete turning from sin. All right. I'm going to give you 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. It says here, for they remember, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Are we doing that today? Are we serving idols, or are we serving the living and true God? That's a thought to think about sometimes, isn't it? You say, well, I'm not serving an idol. Well, you know, we put one thing in front of, between us and God. You think about it. I've known people to have a beautiful pickup truck, and they act like they serve that truck. They love that truck. And if I had a pretty one, I'd probably love it too, but it wouldn't be taking place with Jesus. And that's what I'm getting at. They're doing things, and they are serving idols, in other words. They don't call them idols, I know, but I do. Anything that you put between you and God and put that first instead of God, it's an idol. I'm thinking about that. But let me ask you this, and I'll close. Are you having trouble sleeping? Is anybody? You don't. This ain't no trick question. Are you having trouble sleeping sometime? I do. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I get things on my mind and I can't get them off for a while. I have to pray, ask the Lord to help me so I can sleep some. First thing I know, gone to sleep. Well, let me give you a little matter of advice. If you're having trouble sleeping, don't count sheep. You ever heard people say they counted sheep? Just talk to the shepherd. That'll help you a lot more, won't it? In other words, don't count the sheep, talk to the shepherd. He's the one that's taking care of the sheep anyway. Woo! Amen. All right. Let's bow our heads, okay? I didn't preach long, brother. Want to give me another one? Father, we come to you today. Forgive me for not praying before. And thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in the remainder of this service, Lord. You know the need of everyone. And Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I need your prayer. I need your help. I have a need. And Lord, I pray that your will be done. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do for me. Lord, I pray for all of these. Lord, I pray that you just touch them. And Lord, something's been said or done today, Lord, that would help them. And it has helped me some. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all stand true to you, Lord, no matter what comes this way. Lord, I pray that your will be done in our life. Take us, Lord, and use us for your honor and your glory. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for those that are not saved, Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you bring them in, Lord, and that they come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, that they go to heaven with us. And Lord, thank you for everything you do. Brother Donnie and Sister Shelby and Christy, Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just bless all three of them, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just bless them in a special way, Lord. Touch Brother Donnie's body, Lord, and strengthen him. And thank you for everything you do for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, let's stand and sing Amazing Grace. I know, you know, that's what counts, ain't it? God's amazing grace.
It's 236 if you
know
the book. 236.
You know the words of my heart? I know two of them. I know them. I used to, but my mind don't work like it used to.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves.
By the way, if you feel need to come to the altar, please do so.
Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart.